Om Shanti. Good morning. How many of you recognize the song that was playing just now? The Hindi Walas recognized it and the others didn't. The lyrics are, we are inviting the ocean to come and be with us so that we can receive from the ocean bliss and jewels of knowledge and fill our container with all the jewels. So it's a lovely reminder that in Madhuban today, they're expecting Bap Dada to come. But the beautiful thing is that here also, we can experience the same vibrations. And so today will be Baba's transmission from Madhuban, and we catch those vibrations from the early morning. The Murali today is the one that was spoken 2008, 18th of January. So both dates are significant. 18th January because it's the day Baba had become avyakt, and 2008 because it was the first year after Dadiji had left. And so Baba's saying that Baba's been receiving garlands of love from 2 a.m. in Madhuban, especially when it's the 18th of January, even otherwise sometimes when it's Baba's day for coming, there's a lot of yoga going on before to prepare, but also many, many waking up very early to be able to be there to catch Baba's love. And so Baba's been receiving garlands of love. And Baba said, flower garlands are very common, but even garlands of diamonds are not as valuable as the diamonds of the children's tears of love. And so it's a Murali all about God's love. And you'll hear the detail, but just a few things that specially caught my attention. Firstly, Baba saying that there are some who are intense, elevated effort makers. And then the second number, effort makers. And then there's a third and fourth, and I'll come to that in a minute. But the first stage, elevated effort makers. So, and it's just a small number, Baba has also said that. So that to me meant that Baba was talking essentially about the eight jewels, the dadis, and maybe one dada amongst all the other dadis, and that would be Dada Vishya Kishore Bhau. But Baba has to tell us who is in the eight or who isn't. We can imagine ourselves. But generally speaking, we know the dadis, and London is one of those fortunate places that met all the dadis, except maybe a few at the beginning. But generally, we had Dadi Janki for 40 years here, but also coming many times after that. And what does elevated effort maker mean? In all the different stages, Baba has said that there's love for Baba, and there's the deep desire to become equal to the Father. Equal to incorporeal God is one thing, but also equal to Brahma Baba, the number one soul on earth. And so, what does it mean to be an elevated effort maker? And you just have to think about the dadis, and you know very clearly what that means. It means someone who's absolutely stable, unshakable, both in their love, but also in their stage. Because we would all say that, yes, of course we have love for both Babas, But when it comes to attaining stability in my effort, having unshakable faith, unbreakable love, can you imagine what that's like? Baba said all of us have had the experience of love. We wouldn't be here otherwise. So love is one thing, but a stage of stable, unbreakable, unshakable love and faith. Now that's something else. And if I have the question, why, what, if, but, well, at that moment, my love is shaking, but also my faith can reach breaking point. Because the attack on the intellect, when Baba says Maya, Maya is illusion. And so that illusion that these things, the questions of why, what, if and but, are more powerful than God, comes in. So that is the illusion. And yes, there are situations in which we not only have those questions, but Baba's made another comment. We give excuses. This happened, and so this is why my stage was shaking. Or this person did this. This is why I did this in return. If that person hadn't done this, I wouldn't have responded in that way. And so Baba's picking up on all the different signs in which it's clear that there isn't elevated effort being made. Elevated effort and that stability in my faith and my love, and then none of these things would happen. There would be no margin for excuses, but also there wouldn't be if and why and but all of these things coming. So Baba's not giving names, Baba's not assigning the numbers, but Baba's giving us very clear signs. And so, elevated effort maker, none of these things, just that total stage of stability. And effort makers, yes, you're aware that these are the things that come to shake you, but you make effort and you very quickly deal with them. You don't let it carry on and on and on and on for days and weeks and months and sometimes years. If I know there's something that comes to shake me, how can I allow it to keep coming again and again and creating a disturbance internally for me? Every time I allow myself to come down from that stage of stability, is creating further and further weakness in the soul because it's draining me of my energy, but also it's creating a pattern which gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Draw a line or a circle on a sheet of paper and keep going over that line. It's going to get so strong that it's going to be very difficult to erase. More and more difficult to erase. And so, if I can catch it fairly early on, it shouldn't come, full stop, elevated effort. But if it's coming, and I catch it, and I see why this is happening to me, not why the situation happened, but what's going on inside of me, then I should be able, once, effort maker, twice. What happened to effort? Mama's comment that you can say you're an effort maker if you make a mistake once. But if you keep repeating the same mistake, how does that tie in with effort maker? Elevated effort maker, there are no mistakes. But even the effort maker, yes, I'm aware, but I'm still not able to deal with it. So Baba's saying it's because of one reason. You don't allow yourself to stay lost in the ocean of love. If you spend time just going deeper and deeper into soul consciousness. And as a result of that, you not just have a glimpse of God's love, you don't just take a tiny dip and come out again, but you have a taste and you want to go deeper and you want to go deeper and you keep going deeper and deeper into the ocean of love. Then all these other things are outside, you're not bothered by them and you're not shaken by them. And you don't give excuses because of this one, because of this thing, because of the other thing. So, a time in which we're seeing what's going on in the state of the world, and a time in which you're very aware that things are very delicate, very fragile. Things can turn topsy-turvy any moment. So, at that moment, what's going to be my stage? Questions, questions, questions. Why, what, if, but, or because of this one, I've lost it. I've really lost the plot if that's what's happening today, because that's what's going to happen to me at the end. If today I can turn it around quickly so that I create a new pattern of behavior. It's interesting that December, the end of the year, is nearly here. But also, December on the one side, celebrations, but on the other side, the dark nights, the early nights, the late mornings, the quiet time of year. Celebrations will finish after Christmas Day, but after that, a time for preparation for the next period, the new year. And Baba's Day comes right in the month of January, when we've already calmed down after the celebrations and we're looking inside. So today's 18th January, Murali, is one of those Muralis in which I was talking about the power of love and how when you experience God's love, you're constantly experiencing the canopy of God's protection with you. And so nothing can take away my fortune. Nothing can interfere with what is my right. Two very big lessons. At one point, Baba had said to me, and Baba said it to some others also, that in a personal meeting with Baba, personal in front of thousands, but still personal, and in that meeting, Baba said, "Your fortune is like your shadow." And it applies to everyone. It's not just for one or two. Can anyone separate you from your shadow? Just think about it for a moment. Nobody can separate me from my shadow. And so, your fortune is your shadow. It follows you wherever it is you go. Nobody can take it away. But equally, my right, whatever is my right, is going to come to me. I don't have to think about it. It's fixed in the drama. It's going to come. I want it now. Well, the fruit is not yet ready, and I want unripe fruit. It's going to give me a stomachache. It's going to give me pain. If I try and snatch it away from someone, there's going to be pain. Pain for me, pain for the other, and it's a spiral that goes downwards, but it's a very unhealthy pattern that I've created. And I have to recognize that if there's pain, it's a sign of my own ego. It's not because somebody is causing me pain, but it's my own ego that's hurting, and that's why I'm feeling the pain. And so, elevated effort maker, lost in the ocean of love. And then the effort maker, yes, recognizing what is not quite right and sorting it out and putting it right very quickly. Then the third one, Baba said that this is the garland, a bigger one, but a garland of those who get into the impact of the storm. the storm of Maya comes, and instead of staying deep down in the ocean, I'm superficial, I'm above, I keep coming out. And so that's when the storm will hit me and impact me. And so at that moment when you see the storm coming, or even at least when it does come, go deep into the ocean of love. And so the power of love, it'll protect you. The power of love, it will empower you. The power of love, it will liberate you from labor. Baba's used three words together: mohabbat and mehnat and moj. Mohabbat, the love, the labor, mehnat, but the contrast of that, the moj. A time to experience in the confluence age, the only time in the whole cycle when I have the fortune of experiencing God's love. In bhakti, we don't love, have that experience of love coming from God. We're searching for God, and sometimes the memory of the past emerges and we have that feeling of love for God. But more than that, it's really just the search for God. And in the golden and silver age, you're just enjoying your inheritance. But Baba's saying, your inheritance begins now. Don't wait for the golden age to experience the time of joy and pleasure. Experience it today. And that sanskar of experiencing joy will then carry on through. But if I'm not experiencing the joy of Sangam Yoga, and the inner joy has nothing to do with external facilities, opportunities, people, none of that. Because there can be many opportunities that come my way, and I get lost in my own thoughts of many questions or wonderment about why. But I can have many, many times that I remember I had great fortune, great opportunities, and it was momentary. It came, and then a few hours later, never mind a few days later, but even just a few hours later, it's something else that's coming into my feelings. And so to experience God's love means to be able to experience joy right here and now. And if I have joy, then what am I going to share? I'm going to share that joy with others. So this is the third stage of in the ocean, but popping up to see what's going on around me. No, I don't need to do that. I just need to go deeper into the ocean. And the fourth stage, Baba has not given any clarification. Baba's just given one word: complaints. End of story. If my mind is complaining about anything, anyone, doesn't matter who, why, what, where, but if there's complaints in my mind, how can I experience God's love? And of course, the big garland, huge complaints. So today's Murali, enjoy the power of God's love and take benefit from that. And I know that you've probably heard quite a bit of news from Sister Maureen, right? No? Okay. So, well, you might have seen it on the news, because this time, the climate change conference, COP30, it's now been 30 years that governments have been meeting and talk, but very little result. A Japanese scientist at one point said, not in the last couple of years, it would have been before COVID, I don't remember the year, but a very top Japanese scientist representing the scientific community, because they have the governments talking. Then in the plenaries with the governments, they have a certain number of categories that can present. So So one is scientists and the other is youth. And the third one is agriculture. They always get speaking time. And that's about it. They don't usually give more time to, yes, once I've heard business person talking. So when it's somebody in industry in a big way, so that also. And the scientists were speaking on behalf of all the other scientists, so they had selected who they wanted to speak. And he made this comment, I wonder who I'm speaking to. Am I speaking to people who are asleep? Because for years I've been coming, and for years we've been telling you we're at a very difficult time and we have to change, and there's no change. Things get worse and worse and worse. So a huge number of statistics, of course, about the carbon emissions and how they're worse today than ever before. Global warming, you can feel it. But global warming also means global cooling, because it's extremes. And so then you get the extremes of rain and drought, you get the extremes of temperatures, and you get a total disruption in the system of the ecology of the earth, which is what we're seeing. One particular statistic that will perhaps surprise you, there were 1,800 representatives from the oil and gas industry, and there were 600 indigenous people. Just imagine, here's a gathering which is supposed to be talking about stopping fossil fuel, but you have 1,800 people from that camp making agreements. Why are they there? They're lobbying. They're lobbying the governments. They're making agreements with governments. And so instead of reduction of fossil fuel, it's actually growing. And the last three ones, COPs before this one, it was Dubai, Egypt, Azerbaijan. Each of them petrol-producing companies. So what can you expect if that's what's going on? But it just reminds me of the story of Kumbhakarna in the scriptures. The sleeping giant, and you keep telling him, wake up, wake up, wake up. You beat the drums, you blow the trumpets, you make a lot of noise. But the sleeping giant opens one eye, looks around, and closes his eyes and turns around and goes to sleep again. So when the Japanese scientist said, who am I talking to? I'm talking to people who are sleeping. So that's the story of COP on one side. At least this year, the Brazilian government had the courage to bring in the subject of phasing out fossil fuel. They use that expression. But it got ignored. The host government has put this in as part of the agenda, and all the other governments have ignored it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. But at least it got a mention. But it's not in the document anywhere. And the indigenous people, in some parts of Brazil, I think this was maybe my sixth time in Brazil. I first went in 1980, and then through the years from time to time. And Salvador, the north of the country, is where the most Aboriginal people are, even today, and the Amazon, of course, and this was held in the Amazon. But also this is where the slave ships came from Africa. And so 70% of the people in Salvador, beautiful big city by the sea, it's mixed origin. And we were in the Amazon, and that's where most of the indigenous people live. And there were some who had come from other parts of the world, but not so many. And they were supposed to have a big voice this time. But they were there, but in smaller numbers than the oil lobby. But they didn't really have much say. Why? The governments weren't ready to listen, but they had their own area, which again happened after quite a while, after 3 years, I think. In the three countries prior, they haven't really had much civil society participation. But this time it was big civil society participation and very convenient. You could go from the government conference through a covered passageway. It was very hot. The sun was very bright, very strong. So there's a covered passageway, quite a long one, but you got to the civil society program. And the civil society program was talks going on, but also the central area was like a big marketplace with all the indigenous people with their handicrafts and their foods and doing, you know, the paintings on the hands and a little bit like Mehndi, but what they do in India, but with paint that was from the trees, the resin of the trees. And, you know, face painting, hand painting, all of this was going on. But the lovely thing was the whole family, the indigenous family would be there. The mother, the father, the children, little children, big children. And so it was really like a family outing and a family gathering. Totally different atmosphere. But the biggest impact that, I mean, you know what the Brahma Kumaris say in all these situations. This time we had 30 panels that we presented in and 24 live stream interviews with scientists. One of the indigenous people, woman who was there, a woman actually took Jan at Covent Garden in London. She had come with her family. Her son had a job in London. And so she was in Covent Garden for quite a while. So a time during the time Daddy was around. So very often remembering Daddy and the activities. But she then went back again to Brazil with her family. And so she was the only person within our group that actually was from Belém, the city where we were. And so she was incredibly occupied in helping us settle, get places and so on and so on. And we had a program for the local people. And it had been raining every day. 3 o'clock, we'd see the clouds. 4 o'clock, the rain would come. And usually by 5 o'clock, it was clockwork. And 5 o'clock, the rain would stop. But some days, it carried on. So the rain came and we were hoping that the rain would stop because when it's raining they don't want to be out. But it stopped and then we had about over 100 people from the local community come to the program in an iconic place, the art museum in the heart of the city. And every person who was coming was seeing her and hugging her and they knew her personally. So she did enormous service. But the last 2 days, another one, a sister from Salvador, who's very creative and artistic, she'd created a costume which was Mother Nature. And Mother Nature, this lady, Nazari, had helped her make it. So then the question came, who was going to wear it? And of course it was logical that the indigenous woman should wear it and appear. So totally soul conscious, she's dressed up as Mother Nature. And she's there in a conference hall and everybody wanted to take a photograph with her. And so to walk from here to there would take half an hour because people would stop. Can I photo? But the First Lady of Brazil happened to be in a program. And so when she came out, she stopped and wanted to talk to Nazari and have a chat with her. So that was lovely. But then she'd just come out from the program and I was somewhere else. But then she, The first lady came with the entourage and was walking, and then by then Nasri was where I was. So she again saw Nasri and stopped. So then I met the first lady. And it was quite, it was short, but it was strong enough to leave an impact for the woman to say, when you come to Brasilia, I want to meet you. And it didn't happen because when I was in Brasilia, she was in South Africa, so it didn't work out. But it left an impact. But the other thing that happened was the press, the media. And there was one particular individual who was firstly taking photographs and then talking to her. And it turned out he was a reporter from The Guardian. And I had a short chat with him, and then he had to go off. But he published an article in The Guardian, not just about Mother Nature, there's a photograph there, but also about the Brahma Kumaris. And in 1975, a reporter from The Guardian had come to Abu, and there'd been an article about Dadi Prakash Muni and Brahma Kumaris and Mount Abu. But in that intervening period, most press, I don't know if there's any press people sitting here, but I don't mind saying it in public. Judy Rogers, who's been in media for most of her life, told me once that the worst media is Britain, because they pick out all the nasty things they can find, or they don't even have facts properly, but they will always write nasty things about many different areas, and in particular religion. And The Guardian hasn't ever, in the Mail, we had an honorable mention in the Mail at one point, and it was actually an article that Liz Hodgkinson had written, and it was about a conference in Abu. And they mentioned that this was a conference in Abu, but no mention of the Brahma Kumaris. And so this time, the article actually is very accurate, and it's talking about Brahma Kumaris teaching meditation and silence. So Mother Nature opened a door. So that was lots of very good things happening. But the last thing about Brazil, we had a program in a cultural center in Sao Paulo, and this was at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we were thinking, because this was a time that the person who was going to speak with me, a very high-level scientist who's very well known in Brazil, but that was a time that he had. So he said, okay, he'll go for it. So it was a conversation between the two of us, and a person who was the contact was the president of SOL, the Society for Organizational Learning, which is the same organization that Peter Senge had founded many years ago. And so he knew the president of that society has been in contact with Brahma Kumaris for a long time, but he was a contact with a scientist. And this scientist is talking about how this, we have to come back to values. The only way we can reverse the clock is by coming back to going inside. And he was talking about this a lot, and he was using the word love a lot. You don't often hear scientists use the word love, and so he was. So it was a very engaging conversation, and again, I think probably because of him, but also the Brahma Kumaris know very good people. We had, I think it was 120 plus that were there in that hall. 10 o'clock in the morning on a working day. It's not what you would normally expect, but then the people who came, of course, were not people who have 9-to-5 jobs. They're leaders of society in different ways, and so they can choose what time they wish to come. But, and nobody wanted to leave. It was supposed to be from 10 to 12, but we were still there by nearly 1 o'clock, because even after the program, people wanted to talk, and all that was going on. But essentially what he's saying is that the Amazon is not just the lungs for the oxygen of the earth, but it's also the provider of water. The Amazon River is 4,000 miles long, the longest river in the world, and it's big. You can't see the other side of the shore. But his research was telling him something else, that it's not that because the rain comes, the trees are there, but he puts it the other way. Because the trees are there, that makes the rain come. And of course, there's a whole scientific explanation about it, but basically he's saying that apart from the water, it's the vapor from the trees that creates the clouds, and the clouds are not just for Brazil, but the clouds travel across the world. And so you're cutting down the forest, and different people have different projections about statistics there, but a huge amount has been cut. And so that vapor is actually creating the clouds that keep climate stable and equitable. And without the clouds, we are seeing desertification. And so that's going to carry on increasing. The more we cut the trees, the more that's going to happen. But the other statistic that many were quoting this time, out of the 7 tipping points for the Earth, in which we go to the point where it's irreversible climate change, we've reached 5 of those tipping points already. So nothing new for Baba's children. Baba's children know about all of this from Baba's perspective, but yet these are the sort of statistics that are being talked about. But will the rich countries compensate the poor developing countries for what they've done? And the impact is on the poorer countries, the small islands especially, but also the other developing world? No, maybe not. They make agreements, but they yet have to fulfill the agreements they've made in the past. Or they repeat those agreements, so it's not a new agreement. But we know that Kali Yuga is going to come to an end, and Sat Yuga is coming very soon. But it feels really as if we're just a step away from people to acknowledge that yes, it's inner change that is going to make a difference, not outer change. So it was a very, very worthwhile trip. And everybody who was in the team was totally occupied, 15 of us basically. So good for Baba, not good for the Earth. But when we understand what's going on, questions stop. Om Shanti.